Kale and Company weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Could be 83 degrees, by the way, for your forecast this Saturday. And that really makes me think of my lawn care service. I'm so glad years ago we chose Natural Lawn of America after doing all of our homework and our due diligence. But we thought it just made sense to hire a company that gives better results and is safer for our family, for our pets, for the kids. That's why we chose Natural Lawn of America. At Natural Lawn, here's what they believe in: growing greener, healthier lawns without all the harsh chemicals. They use environmentally friendly products to keep your lawn lush and green while protecting the safety of your family and your pets. Yes, from the organic fertilizers to the safer weed and insect controls, Natural Lawn of America makes sure your lawn thrives naturally, season after season. And you don't have to take my word for it. You can join the growing number of homeowners who are switching to Natural Lawn's safer services and enjoying a beautiful, eco-friendly lawn that you can be proud of. Just schedule Natural Lawn's full service program. Get free seeding every year. 800-FREE-SEED. 800-FREE-SEED. Your lawn deserves the best. Call the best. Choose my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed. 800-FREE-SEED.
Big shout out to Charles Blatz, who just donated 100 big ones. Nice work, Charles. We appreciate that. You can keep them coming. GregStockerSucks.com. All goes to the Families Behind the Badge Children's Foundation.
Your big take this morning was on NPR. We spent a lot of time in the 6 o'clock hour with it. But for those late risers, let's get to some clips we didn't play. Let's start with the, this is 8, Phil, the opening statements from the PBS president and CEO, Paula Kerger. She was at the DOGE subcommittee hearing on funding for public broadcasting. Let's just play a little bit of this, Phil.
For her opening statement.
Chair Taylor Greene, Congressman Lynch, and members of the subcommittee, my name is Paula Kerger, and I'm the president and CEO of PBS, a role that I've held for 19 years. It is my honor to be here on behalf of the 336 PBS stations who serve every community in the United States. There's nothing more American than PBS. As a membership organization, our local service is at the heart of our work. Our job at PBS is to support our stations so that local stations can serve their communities. We've been proudly fulfilling our mission for nearly 60 years using the public airwaves and other technologies to help educate, engage, and inspire the American people. That mission is our guide star and remains just as important today as when the Public Broadcasting Act was signed into law in 1967. PBS stations provide something that cannot be found on commercial networks. This is because PBS stations are focused on the needs and interests of the viewers they serve. Especially in rural areas, PBS stations are the only outlet providing coverage of local events.
For example,
high school sports, local history and culture content, candidate debates at every level of the election ballot, and specialized agricultural news.
There you go.
You know, when I was living up in the Lehigh Valley, if I wanted high school sports, I would put on Service Electric or RCN or WFMZ, which are not funded by my tax dollars. Now, I did not know that there are 336 PBS stations nationwide. So that just really gave me a nice little shot of adrenaline knowing that our tax dollars are going to 336 stations. And this is not new. We've known for a long time. It's out there that this is, you know, but this is actually, I would argue, probably more outrageous than the things we did not know about behind the scenes that DOGE has unearthed. A couple from a few days ago, studying the menstrual cycles of men. DEI in pest control. Really? We need DEI to kill a roach? Really? Is that what we need? And I'm really shocked. And I gave you these stats in the big take. Pew Research Center. Granted, it's just one poll. But more Americans than not are okay with this continuing. Believe it or not, Greg Stocker, you are in the minority on your passionate viewpoint. And I don't understand how Americans can be on board with this.
I know why. You want to know why? Cut 12 here. Because of arguments like this. This is exactly what they do to tug at the heartstrings of moms and everybody out there. Roll this.
The American people want to know.
Elmo.
Is Elmo now,
yep,
or has he ever been a member of the Communist Party of the United States?
Yep.
Yes or no?
That's exactly what they did.
Sure, Ms. Kerger, because he's obviously red.
Well, he is a puppet, but no.
Now, that's not all. He also has a very dangerous message about sharing and helping each other. He's indoctrinating our kids that sharing is caring. Now, maybe he's part of a major socialist plot, and maybe that's why the charwoman is having this hearing today. But let's talk about somebody else. Let's talk about Cookie Monster. Now, we know that Health Secretary RFK Jr. is coming out.
This is why.
Against fast food. And
this is why. This is exactly why. Because
this little production.
When people hear of PBS, they think of Sesame Street. And they're like, well, my kids grew up on Sesame Street. Your kids should grow up on Sesame Street. You know what I mean? That is the one misnomer that everybody, when they don't think of the, nobody thinks about like WHYY and the radio stations. Mm-hmm. They're thinking about the television stations
that heartstrings, that play kids programming,
yes,
like that play Mr. Rogers,
yes, that play all the kids programming, and they're like, well, yeah, no, it's good wholesome entertainment, mm-hmm. which by the way it is. And by the way, if Sesame Street went public, you know how much money they would make?
They'd probably actually make more.
In 2019, just, you know, the Sesame Street workshop,
yep,
it has, first of all, they make a ton of money off of 500 licensing agreements. Mm-hmm. Total revenue, and this was the latest revenue I can find by 2019, $35 million. But I believe it's much greater than that, because that obviously was a that was obviously from 2018, 2019.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it. And by the way, all you need to do is go to Sesame Place out there in Langhorne. I had to give out bank account to get, you know.
Excuse me. Updated, $271 million in revenue. $271 million in revenue.
That's
just Sesame Street.
That's what I'm saying. This doesn't need to be free. It doesn't.
No.
So Elmo's red. So
Elmo's red.
He's a Republican.
Elmo's a commie.
Cookie Monster's blue, right?
Yeah, he's a Democrat.
He's a lib. By the way, nice work by Schaefe. I believe the real name is Gary Schaefer. He just donated $150.
Oh, woo-hoo! Gary Schaefe. Come on, man. Thank you very much.
As you keep him coming, I get emailed right away. I'm notified the moment you either sign up or donate, or both, and we will publicly give you a shout out.
The problem with this NPR debate is that, yes, we all agree, because we know the downsides of this in the radio market, and quite frankly, in the TV market too, because the TV market doesn't have to compete like CBS3 and NBC10 and all that does. So we see that business side of it,
yeah.
But people who aren't really familiar with this see Sesame Street and that Playhouse and Mr. Rogers and all that stuff, and that's what they view as PBS.
I mean, I grew up on Mr. Rogers and some of these other shows. I used to love when Trolley would come around.
It was a little creepy. I know, he was a minister.
The sweater was.
I never liked Mr. Rogers. He always gave off that creepy vibe to me. I was like, oof.
But he said one thing accurately.
Mm.
If you're born a boy, you're born a boy, and you're a boy for life. That doesn't jive well with the left these days.
NPR CEO Catherine Marr was caught off guard after Representative Brandon Gill started reading her past tweets one by one for this. You play this on The Big Take?
No, but I referenced the quotes.
Roll this, Phil. This is cut nine. Cut nine. There you go.
It's interesting because a lot of your thinking, as expressed by your public statements, is deeply infused with economic and cultural Marxism. Do you believe that America is addicted to white supremacy?
I believe that I tweeted that, and as I've said earlier, I believe much of my thinking has evolved over the last half decade.
It has evolved. Why did you tweet that?
By the way, she looks
I don't recall the exact context, sir, so I wouldn't be able to say.
She looks like a goer, by the way.
Do you believe that America believes in black plunder and white democracy?
I don't believe that, sir.
You tweeted that in reference to a book you were reading at the time, apparently, The Case for Reparations.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever read that book, sir.
Mm. No, you're just virtue signaling.
You said you took a day off to fully read The Case for Reparations. You put that on Twitter in January of 2020.
Burn a personal day.
I apologize, I don't recall that I did.
Yeah.
I'd no doubt that your tweet there is correct, but I don't recall.
Okay.
But I was lying.
Do you believe that white people inherently feel superior to other races?
Amazing. I do not.
You don't? You tweeted something to that effect. You said, I grew up feeling superior. Ha, how white of me.
She's
Why
not
did
good
you
at this.
Tweet that?
I think really I was probably reflecting on what it was to be to grow up in an environment where I had lots of advantages.
It sounds like you're saying that white people feel superior.
I don't believe that anybody feels that way, sir. I was just reflecting on my own experience.
Did you donate?
Do you think
that
white people should pay reparations?
I have never said that, sir.
Yes, you did. Said it in January of 2020. You tweeted,
oops.
Yes, the North. Yes, all of us. Yes, America. Mm-hmm. Yes, our original collective sin and unpaid debt. Yes, reparations. Yeah. Yes, on this day.
The problem is, by the way, she can have whatever points of view she wants to. She can tweet whatever she wants to. Just don't back away from it. I believe all that.
Yeah.
It doesn't affect the way I whatever NPR. You know what I mean? Like it's such a simple response, but she's not that bright, obviously.
And speaking of not bright, Crockett was on her horse yesterday because she had her chance to question Mar, and she's like, well, you were not an employee of NPR at the time. Well, she is now, so you know that what her political agenda is and what her political slant is.
Speaking of Jasmine Crockett, we have a longer cut than what you played in the big take, Nick. This is a Jasmine Crockett having a profane meltdown. This is
hopefully we bleeped this out.
Cut 11. We did. Roll it.
Americans in rural communities would lack access to life-saving information and public safety alerts.
That is correct.
So in your opinion, would eliminating funding for stations in rural America like WNGH Channel 18 in the chairwoman's district hurt Americans?
It would hurt Americans, yes.
In fact, Georgia Public Broadcasting serves as the official distributor of evacuation route information during state-ordered evacuations, and the chairwoman is here advocating to strip their funding. Look, the DOGE agenda isn't about government efficiency. It's about breeding corruption at the expense of the safety of the American people, particularly Americans living in rural or remote parts of the country. They don't care about public safety. They don't care about emergency management, and they don't care about free speech, all of which are harming American people. In fact, I'm going to skip off real quick.
Here she goes. She's changing.
Because they have tried to come for you, Ms. Mayor.
Code switch.
And I
here
just want to clarify, you did not work for NPR when those statements were made, did you?
That is correct, Madam.
And to be clear, free speech is not about whatever it is that y'all want somebody to say.
Y'all.
And the idea that you want to shut down everybody that is not Fox News is... We need to stop playing, because that's what y'all are doing in here. You don't want to hear the opinions of anybody else, and the Constitution says Congress shall make no law respecting or establishing of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging
the gentlewoman's time has expired.
That's another reason, by the way, because when you go down this path that they went down, this committee went down, where it's like, well, you have these left-wing views. Who cares about their left-wing
views? That's
right. They need to go down the path of, you can say whatever you want to. You can do whatever you want to. You can report on whatever you want to. The taxpayers just shouldn't fund it.
I just want to pay for it.
Yes, that's it. When you go down this, then Jasmine Crockett looks like she's saying, yes, you want to silence anybody that's Fox News. People can make that argument.
Well, I mean,
why do it?
So which Republicans have framed this improperly? I felt like Tim Burchett, which is why I played him in the big take from Tennessee. He nails it because he says if Fox News or Newsmax or OAN or America's Voice was publicly funded, the Democrats would throw a hissy fit.
Well, here's 13, Comer. Comer has no idea what he's talking about here. He's talking about editorial standards. And he's literally referencing standards for editorials.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like he has all these whiteboards with you know
the headlines
and biased things that NPR has said. Everybody knows that,
right?
But he doesn't know what he's talking about, and he kind of gets called out here. Roll this.
Do you want to dispute anything that I said in the remaining 30 seconds?
Thank you, Congressman. First of all, I want to recognize your concerns. One of the first things that I did in coming in May was to beef up our editorial standards. I directed my editor-in-chief, who, by the way...
Why is NPR even doing editorials?
I'm so sorry.
Do editorials?
I don't mean editorial in terms of opinion editorial.
Do you even need opinion? Well, what does it matter with the opinion? If you're a federally funded entity that's supposed to provide the news...
Can
you not provide the news?
Of course.
Fair and balanced?
Of course, Congressman. I mean editorial standards for our journalism was to beef up our editorial practices, bringing in more editors to make sure that we have more points of view reflected in every story. I've engaged in a number of actions trying to address
some of these concerns.
And my time's
expired. I've lost confidence in public radio. I don't think, Madam Chair, they should get a penny of federal funds. I yield back.
Thank you, Mr.
Honest question. Just thinking back to when James Comer was handling the Biden crime family. Is James Comer the best the Republican Party has? With all due respect to Mr. Comer, the best we got?
That's the problem when you go down this. Like, he doesn't know what he's talking about. And you go down these angles, and it's just like there's a very simple case to be made for here, and they didn't make it.
Yeah. They got it's more about, it's not even more about, it should be entirely about the concept of the business model, not the content or the editorials. Yep. You spend all that time going to Hobby Lobby and buying poster boards and creating your little cardboard cutouts, and you got the whole gist of the message wrong.
Yep.
Gosh.
Well, it was a long hearing, so I think what emerged in the hearing is, you know, budgets. How many tax dollars go for this and support this? Mm-hmm. And also, when she made the statement that they have the 336 stations that they serve, especially rural areas, who I guess if you're in a rural area, I guess you don't have access to things like, you know, the internet so that you can get, you know, sports, local sports and weather and agriculture news. And so the problem with everything that they testified to is that what they're pointing out essentially through their testimonies, this is highly antiquated because, of course, wherever you are in the world, you can absolutely get all of this information and you don't need to fund this. And by the way, when she says she had to hire more editorial gatekeepers or whatever, these people, I can tell you on the television side, they make very good money.
Yep. That we're paying for.
That we pay for.
All right, we have to break.
God almighty.
Dawn has some breaking news about somebody that was just captured on the other side.
Beautiful. Big three's coming up.
Big three.
Stay tuned. Kale and Company, that news on the other side. Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and the free Odyssey app. It's the Big 3 and 9 on Kale and Company.
Sponsored by Kitchen Magic, a top MS-13 gang member labeled the worst of the worst, is under arrest. A huge victory for the Trump administration, for America. This announcement, breaking news this morning, and he's one of the top in the top tier of these MS-13 gang leaders on the East Coast. That, according to authorities, as they say, this man here illegally in this country, MS-13 leader under arrest. So this was a major operation in Virginia, went down this morning. They nabbed this guy, as well as, they say, hundreds of other criminals in the past month alone. AG Pam Bondi speaking out, saying, this is what happens when you let good cops be good cops.
Boom.
That from Cash Patel, Pam Bondi, speaking out about this 24-year-old illegal from El Salvador.
We have Cash Patel, if you want to roll this show.
This is what happens when you let good cops be cops. And we're going to continue to let good cops be cops across this country. President Trump gave us the executive decision to go after and safeguard our communities. General Bondi is our warrior of justice leading that charge. Governor Youngkin, it's an honor to be a partner in this operation with you and U.S. Attorney Siebert. This is a mandate we have. Right now we have an American dying every 7 minutes from a drug overdose. That is a national security crisis we have not seen ever before. We have a woman or child being raped every 6.5 minutes in this country. We have a homicide twice an hour. No part of that metric is a safe and secure America. But thanks to the brave leadership of this administration and the folks that you see here, we are returning our communities to safety. As you heard, we took down this morning a top leader of MS-13. That is not done easily. That is done with brilliant law enforcement.
Great.
Nice work out of Cash and Pam. And unfortunately for this MS-13 member, he's going to be disappointed. Christy Noem's already gone.
So this, we don't have all the information about the joint operation, FBI, ICE, ATF, Virginia State Police, as well as the Prince William County Police Department. So local, state, federal, all working together this morning and then releasing that information.
By the way, for those of you who don't know, like, MS-13 is like the worst of the worst.
Yeah.
As far as gangs
violent.
Go. Violent.
Brutal.
They are they're basically on the same level as like cartels, you know. They women, children, it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Like they're you know, with the old school mafia, stuff like that, they never used to go after women or children. They just settled the scores with the people they had scores with. This new breed doesn't care.
Yeah. How long until an activist judge tries to prevent the deportation of this individual?
It's a great question. What federal hideous judge is gonna block this?
Mm-hmm.
We do have some sad news. This is a search and recovery efforts underway for 4 United States Army soldiers. They were reported missing during a scheduled training exercise near Pabrod, Lithuania. And this is the U.S. Army releasing this information. They were all based, by the way, in Fort Stewart, Georgia, reported missing within the past less than 48 hours. And so they were in an M88 Hercules armored recovery vehicle. They were operating that. It has now been found submerged in water.
Oh, boy.
So that's just being reported. But obviously, when we say search and recovery, you know what that means. This is not a search and rescue.
Mm-hmm. Are you guys surprised? Cut 29, Phil. Are you guys surprised that when a reporter asked Trump this yesterday, he had no idea what the reporter was asking about?
Well, let me hear it.
Have you been briefed about the soldiers in Lithuania who are missing?
No, I haven't.
Have you spoken, sir, with the big three?
That's literally all he said on it.
No.
Are you surprised that he wasn't briefed on this?
I don't. You know, the more I study this stuff, I don't know. Even a
that's a pretty big deal. Nick.
Mentally alert president. I don't know that they're necessarily briefed or up to speed on everything. I'm not saying, I'm not making an excuse for it.
It's a pretty big deal.
Okay,
like these are American soldiers, right?
Yeah.
That we put in these places, right?
Somebody should have told them on the Signal app.
Just saying. I don't know. Seems to be a little lack of communication there. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, I totally see that.
Well,
I criticize this administration and the past administration.
They seem to brief him on everything that Jeffrey Goldberg does from The Atlantic. Yet he doesn't know about four. You know, I'm not saying it's his fault, but somebody should have told him.
Yeah.
My honest to God question is, the word from and NATO further clarified that they had died. It sounds like they had died during the training exercise, and we don't have all of the confirmations. So my question is, what did Trump know something, and he just wanted to say nope, haven't. Next question, because he didn't want to.
Isn't that worse?
I don't.
Isn't that worse?
I don't. If the families haven't yet been notified officially, I don't know.
Yeah, but he should have had a different answer then by saying something like, there's more on that to come or something like that. I don't know. I just feel like this is, it's his job to know all this stuff, and somebody's not briefing him properly.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
Yeah. Maybe another reason to downsize the government even more. Too many cooks in the kitchen as it is.
Yep.
Normally I have something fun to talk about, but I haven't been able to report this morning something that I wanted to get to at some point, and that's this mainline doctor, a woman who had, and we've reported on this, who admitted to terrorizing the family of her ex-boyfriend's new girlfriend. So she got, she's going to spend less than a year in jail, 11 and a half months in jail, and in this one, 36-year-old Amy Cohen, she was upset that her boyfriend broke up with her. She's was a doctor on the main line and has mental issues and admitted that in court. She's going under treatment. But in this case, remember this? It was November of 2023 that she had set fire to the Lower Merion home of the new girlfriend's 99-year-old grandma at 1:30 in the morning. And thank God, grandma, the 99-year-old grandma, got out and escaped because her smoke detectors were working. But grandma could have died.
Yeah.
And there was more. There was harassment and stalking and the whole thing. And so her medical license, she worked out of Bryn Mawr Hospital, infectious diseases doctor.
Okay.
But just kind of a bizarre case and a bizarre twist. There were some people who were surprised that, you know, igniting, setting fire to a 99-year-old grandma's home because it's the ex-girlfriend's grandma, that would only deliver 11 and a half, you know, less than a year in prison. But it's the mental health debate that, and that was the whole thing.
Yeah.
It was all about mental health.
Yeah, should not be out in society, period.
So
jail, insane asylum, I'm good with either.
So that's the story about your the ex-girlfriend. Sorry, I wanted to get to like Will. We had all this breaking news.
Will
like,
Smith.
There's Will Smith Way.
Yeah,
in West Philly.
Tony Bruno reported that yesterday. By the way,
yeah.
But Will Smith, this was before.
Yeah.
I mean, we did say it, but Will Smith was here.
Oh, well, then if he was here.
You know what I mean?
Did he,
so it was kind of cool.
Did he smack Chris Rock while he was here?
Was he filming Bad Boys 7?
I'm trying to, like, say something good.
Well, here's something good and fun. You talked about 90-year-olds and fire. Geezer's Gone Wild is the headline. Outkick with a story. Fireball Whiskey will give anyone 90 and over... I don't know if we have any 90-year-olds in our audience. I know I've met a few veterans that have served this country.
We do.
Okay.
I know a few, and God bless them.
So this would apply to you if you are listening and you like whiskey that's flavored like Big Red chewing gum, which is disgusting. You will get free Fireball whiskey for the rest of your life, whether it's one day or 10 more years or 20. Either way, you've outlived me by 30 years already. Free Fireball whiskey.
Woo!
Yeah.
So all the 90-year-olds in the audience, and you know who you are, get out there and get some Fireball whiskey.
Yes, go to your local PA Wine and Spirits store, show your ID.
Stop what you're doing.
If it's a Democrat at the cashier, they won't even ask you for ID. Free Fireball whiskey, the worst thing you could possibly drink. I think it's awful, but hey, at 95, what the hell?
By the way, somebody on the YouTube chat is reporting that the Flyers have fired their head coach.
Torts!
Torts gone.
Torts!
Torts gone.
I took intro to Torts one day. Literally, one day, and then I quit. But yeah, Tortorella, he's out.
All right, we have to break.
You're fired.
You're fired.
For those that care about hockey.
Let's talk about, real quick, get some magic. Make the magic happen with Kitchen Magic, our sponsor of our Big Three. Their experts are going to guide you every step of the way. Free in-home design consultation. Top-notch installation. Right now, get 40% off installation. 40% off the cost of installation. What are you waiting for? KitchenMagic.com. KitchenMagic.com.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. Up next, as we wrap up, a ban that somebody says is a bipartisan win. Gale and Company, stay right there.
Hey, the extensive selection at Mercedes-Benz of Westchester, Wilmington, and Atlantic City, combining the luxury with performance across the full line of sedans, SUVs, coupes, roadsters, and more. From the powerful engine of the 2025 C-Class sedan to the impressive towing capacity of the 2025 GLE SUV, you're going to find a luxury vehicle that meets your needs. Schedule a test drive behind the wheel of your dream Mercedes-Benz, or just shop Mercedes-Benz of Westchester, Wilmington, and Atlantic City. PiazzaPremiumAutos.com, PIAZZA, PiazzaPremiumAutos.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Multiple sources reporting that RFK Jr. does plan to, in fact, ban pharmaceutical ads on television. For many of us, we know that up until the mid-1980s, pharmaceutical companies gave information about their products only to doctors and pharmacies. But later that decade, some drug companies began giving the general public more direct access to the information, according to the FDA, leading to the advertising that we see on TV today. I did not know, and I figured it was a big amount, but I did not know this, that 75% of mainstream media television revenue comes from the pharmaceutical industry. I have always said, especially during the pandemic, you were never going to see Anderson Cooper criticize the COVID vaccine, because as immediately as he goes a break, CNN's playing an ad from Pfizer or Johnson & Johnson. Unheard.com, there's a great column if you want to read it. RFK Jr.'s drug ad ban is a bipartisan win. It's written by Ross Barkan. It's a great column talking about the history of RFK Jr., the history of these beautiful pharmaceutical ads where everybody's smiling and their joints don't hurt anymore, and they say it's going to work for 85% of you, but if you take it, you're going to have the possibility of 13 other things that are going to go off on you or reactivate old viruses in your body. Due to time constraints, we can't get into the column specifically, but check it out. I think most of us are in favor of it, and I've noticed it since I was a kid. I look at my mom. I'm like, how is this really happening?
There's going to be an avenue to free speech on this, though.
Well, there is, and that's why all these court cases have lost.
Yeah,
and that's why I probably give RFK a single digit percentage chance of winning this, because precedent has shown that the courts say it infringes upon the First Amendment. 855-839-1210. All right, quickly, we've got more donations that are coming in. Big shout out to, let's see here, we have Karen, a beautiful Karen, the typical raging Karen, but Karen Morosky has donated $10.
Thank you, Karen.
That got us to $955. And then during the break, Gretchen Herney donated $250.
What? Gretchen!
That gives us $1,205.
Doesn't give us anything. Gives all the money goes to the families behind the Badge Children's Foundation. We're not NPR begging for money for ourselves. We're 1210 begging for money for great charities.
Yes. $1,205. That gives us 8% of our $15,000 goal in 2 days.
Keep them coming. GregSoccerSucks.com.
All right. Before we get to the music, let's get to the movies. Time for Jimmy Kelly's Morning Mystery Movie Clip.
And now, the Morning Mystery Movie Clip on Kale & Company. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
You deliberately embarrassed me in front of a reporter! I told you how important this is to me, I told you! Why can't you give me the respect that I'm entitled to? Why can't you treat me the way I would be treated by any stranger on the street?
Because I am not one of your fans!
Live audio from Don Stenson's studio.
Call 12 at 855-839-1210, and you could win this great prize.
Today, you have won a pair of tickets if you can identify that movie clip to see Riverdance on April 18th at the Miller Theater in Philadelphia. For more information and tickets, visit EnsembleArtPhilly.com. ENSEMBLE, EnsembleArtPhilly.com. Caller 12 855-839-1210. Without further ado, let's get to what occurred today in music history.
What happened on this day in music history? Music history.
Today, March 27th, we celebrate the birthdays of Tony Banks from Genesis, who's 75, Andrew Ferris from INXS, who's 66, and Johnny April from Staind, who's now 60. Single include It's Been a While by Staind in 2001, and Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap by AC/DC, also in 81. Albums include Bite Down Hard by Brittany Fox in 91. Love at First Sting by the Scorpions, 84, Love by Hair Metal. Out of the Cellar by Rat on the same day, speaking of hair metal. Blizzard of Oz by Ozzy in 81. Wildlife by Girls School in 82. And 7800 Degrees Fahrenheit by Bon Jovi in 85. Also in 2015, Willie Nelson announced that he and his family were hard at work on a new brand of marijuana. In 84, Brian Adams recorded Run to You. In 72, Elvis recorded Burning Love. In 2013, Justin Bieber ran into some trouble at the Munich airport when customs officials detained his pet monkey. Yes, I said that. In 65, Jeff Beck joined the Yardbirds. In 86, Sammy Hagar made his first appearance as Van Halen's lead singer. And in 72, Grand Funk Railroad fired their manager and producer, accusing him of taking more than his share of royalties. But lastly, on this day in 86, Metallica joined Ozzy's Ultimate Sin Tour as the opening act. For Kale & Company, I'm Phil Omquist.
It's just unbelievable. Phil Omquist never disappoints with Today in Music History. Don't forget, catch This Week in Music History Saturday nights at 11 o'clock right here on 1210. All right, Amy in Norwood has identified the movie. Amy, what movie did we just play for you?
It is Mommy Dearest.
Amy! That is correct. Woo! Amy, congratulations. You've got the tickets, and your windows were down in your car. All right, Dawn is coming up in 5 minutes, and we find out what she has from her non-windy booth.
Non-windy, yes. We have, so here's the thing. I'm going to, off the top, I want to get something off my chest about this whole situation going on. And we're going to talk about the Houthis and Sean Parnell center stage here. And we'll just wrap this whole nonsense up about the media, misinformation, disinformation, all of that. Blow the lid off that. In the 11 o'clock hour, make sure you join us at 11 because we have an investigative report, DOGE. Your money, your dollars locally, how were they spent on a ridiculous type of prom? We've got that revelation. And then as well, we've got a military expert coming up at, what is that, 10:30, and the Trump team speaking out about that. There's so much breaking right now. We got it all covered. Stay right there. It's going to be good.
All right, Dawn coming up top of the hour. We've got Tony. No, we've got Sean Farish tomorrow. Sean Farish will join us from Tennessee. Friday, Farish at 7:45. All right, everybody, have a great rest of your Thursday. Stay tuned for Dawn. She is up next. Enjoy the Phillies opener at 4 today, and we will see you tomorrow morning at 6 a.m.
Good night, everybody.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.